Rabbi Isai, I was just inspired by the inspired by Medrash. We were going to hear real Dvar Torah a bit later. Yeah, very good. But that's a very short notice. Yeah, very good, very good. I was inspired by Medrash, gentlemen. This is not a whole big. I just inspired by Medrash. Noach lived through three tkufas of his life. He was before the Mabul, which was many years. Then there was the actual Mabul. And then there was another tkuf, another period of his life, post-Mabul. And they're all very different period of his life. There were three different worlds. The pre-Mabul world, the Mabul world, and the post-Mabul world. And you know what? It must have been very challenging for him to go through so many worlds and so many tkufas. And not only that, but what also occurred to me, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but I think it's still true, that we know that Noach was perhaps not equally successful in all these three tkufas of his life. We know before the Mabul, he was Noach ish tzadik hoyo, ish tzadik tomim hoyo b'dei yosav. And according to many opinions, it means that he was tzaddik. He was the only tzaddik in the generation. Nobody else was a tzaddik in the generation. During the Mabul, he was also a very great tzaddik. We know, as Chazal teach us, he was constantly helping and looking after the animals. He did tremendous chesed during the Mabul. What about post-Mabul? Post-Mabul, we know straight away, as soon as he gets off the teva, he says, Vita kerem, he plants a vineyard, and Chazal find that quite inappropriate that he starts thinking about, I mean, he brings a carbon, but rather inappropriate that he starts planting a vineyard as opposed to other. Chazal find that quite a criticism. Point being that a person has to readjust every now and then in his life. You know, I was just thinking, you know, when you're 20, you've got certain agendas and certain targets in life. You've got certain things you've got to do. And then different priorities. When you're 30, when you're 35, again, there's different priorities. 40, 45, priorities and not just priorities. What your real tough kid in life is, you know, just because you learn 3 hours a day then, it might not be enough now. Or vice versa. Maybe you've got different duties now, different obligations, different responsibilities. And I think what the point is that Noach is teaching us that a person has to readjust. Has to be able to readjust every now and then to his current responsibility as opposed to just, you know, people who made it through the war. I'm always very inspired just by our grandparents' life. Our grandparents, most of our grandparents who, I don't know where you are from, but, you know, I think my own grandparents, they had a life before the war, and then there was the war which they survived just about, and then there was a life after the war. Three very different types and styles of life. And a person, the Yid, has to just learn how to readjust. And that was the thought I thought of as I saw this message today. Okay, we spoke about Tefillin yesterday, and thereby we are ready for Simon Tov Kuf Yud Zayin, Sif Aleph, and I do hope to be able to complete the Simon Be'ezer Hashem, and thereby allowing us to start with a grand topic of Hotzah carrying on Yom Tov, which is such an important topic. Carrying on Yom Tov. Let the carry on Yom Tov. That's going to be Simon Tov Kuf Yud Ches. So before that, let's just do Simon Tov Kuf Yud Zayin. And be'ezi ofen mutalikach b'yom tov minachen v'ni menei maichel. The shopkeeper, page 278. Lo imalachen v'ni to say to a shopkeeper, lo seiz lo beitzim, please can I have some eggs? Oye goizim osham minei maichel v'mishte, any food items? Stephen, are we on? Good evening. Good evening, good evening. Just saying hello, that's all. Because I can't see you, that's all. Okay, good. Okay.
I'm always anonymous.
Anonymous, you remain anonymous, okay. So, if you want to tell the guy, okay, listen, I need some eggs, or any foods for that matter, or any drinks for that matter. Dina b'yom tov k'moy b'shabbos, the same halachas are on Shabbos, then on Yom Tov, the same halachas, which means that you are, under certain circumstances, you're allowed to purchase things as long as you don't discuss the price. Remember that? We spoke in the Shabbos. You're allowed to buy things, really, as long as you don't as long as the price not discussed on Yom Tov and on Shabbos, you know, you're allowed to do that. So if a man Yehudi, if it's a goy, also likach menu dovah sheminu mechuba, oy sheminu mechusat seida. If you're buying of a goy, you may not just go to a goy and buy of him something which requires melacha, such as catching, because you have to assume that it's fresh choyre, and he cut this orange today. So you might not buy an orange of a goy on Yom Tov, because he may have cut it today. Elohim kein unless nikabohem, it's recognizable. Shal nil kudu shal nitzay dayom, if you can recognize easily that this is something which wasn't caught or cut today, i.e., he didn't have melacha today, then you'd be allowed to buy it today. V'chein lo yikach menu beitzim. Similarly, you're not allowed to buy eggs of a goy on Yom Tov. Why?
Why not eggs?
That's right. And thereby, they would be what? Of course. So you may not buy, you can't go to Tesco's and buy eggs and tell him, you know, I'm going to pay you after Yom Tov. I don't think that's going to work in Tesco, actually. But just for argument's sake, if you could do that, you wouldn't be allowed to, because you have to assume that the eggs were laid today and thereby it would be mukta. Now, I don't think today it's so common that today's eggs would be today in the shop. They do go very, very fast, but I don't think they would be that fast. So the shaila is as to whether you, so if you can be for sure, they weren't laid today, then yalach would be okay. But generally speaking, as long as it's got a suffix, you have to assume they were laid today, and therefore they would be considered mukta. Avol, but if it's something which was not cut, v'loy mishum tzeid, something which was not trapped, v'loy mishum noilat, and also is not noilat, no mukta, muta likach menu, you are allowed to go to the goy and buy it and purchase it. Afilu v'ayoyim chutz atchom, even if it's been brought from outside of the tchom, because he brought it for the goy. So the fact that he was once out of the tchum and it was delivered to the shop, which is in the tchum, doesn't matter because it was done for the goy. So you're allowed to get it. V'chein kemach, similarly flour, shenit chamayim, which was ground today, bo'ir shirubay nimyudim, which is, you want to buy a bag of flour. You want to go to Tesco and get a bag of flour. You're allowed to because if it's a city that majority are goyim, then you can assume that the mill, when he was grinding it, they did for goyim, because the majority of people are goyim. V'chein kemach shenit chamayim, bottom line, be'ir shechubay niyud, mota, top of page, kuf mem, mota likach mem, you're allowed to purchase flour if the intention was to grind it for the goyim, ta'idaiti de'inu udi, because the intention was for the goyim, tachnilei, v'wadin likach menu pas, similar, even bread, shofo boy b'yoyim, even if bread was baked, you can assume that there is, that it was done for the goy, and therefore you could assume, and therefore it's okay. It's okay to take it.
Why is that different
than the because you're allowed to bake on Yom Tov.
No, sorry. It wasn't about the baking. I was talking about the tachina. Tachina is in the end, towards the end here. We're saying that we can eat. The stomach eating out of the end. But by the fruits, why are we concerned that maybe he did it, even though he did do it today, but he did it out of the most of the rove customers. He's doing it on his own task. I wasn't mitzvah him to do that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Why do we not differentiate by the beitzim and the goyzim?
Basically, because it's no,
yeah, it the Mishnevu, actually, I think the Mishnevu means that. The Mistoma Bishvil Akum Huvoloi. 1 second. Kide Eltim. Yeah, it appears that it would be the same Alochatake.
And in regards to Mukta, why don't we say Suffolk is the Rabban?
Because the simple answer is because Dovoshish Lematirim. Okay, see, base. Yisrael sh'omal and yudim ibodioim tikne liyoinim. If a yid says to the goy on the day before Yom Tov, please, can you buy me some birds lemochel tomorrow? Can you tell a goy, please, do you mind to go into pardon? Tikne, to buy. Can I give the goy some money? Can you buy for me tomorrow some birds which...
You're specifying when to do it.
Yeah, well, yes, good point. So yes, he says tomorrow.
That would be a problem.
You will be a problem? Yeah. So, why? Because you are asking him to do something.
Well, what's he doing wrong? Does it involve
Seder? No, so he personally wouldn't do Seder, but it will be... indirectly involving tzedakah, because the person who will, so the guy who goes to the shop, he won't actually do tzedakah, but the person providing will have done tzedakah on Yom Tov. No, so let's have a look. He sold shomalin yudim mibodim. Tikni liyonim lemacha. Buy for me some birds tomorrow. Lo yafa. You say that's no good. Avri masokva. But if he did it, l'mutelechol mem Yom Tov, you could actually eat those birds on Yom Tov. Vushalayum africhen, as long as they don't fly away. Because then you'd be, of course, a problem of trapping, catching the birds on Yom Tov. But if he does it all the time, he won't be allowed to eat him. They will not be considered diavet, because he does it all the time. So if you can't ask every Yom Tov the goy, do you mind, tomorrow on Yom Tov, can you get it for me? And then once he got it, you eat it. Then it would be also even with diavet, if you do it regularly. Okay, to answer your question, tomorrow, go and get me some birds tomorrow on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to do that. Whether you gave him the coins, the money, whether you gave him the money to purchase it tomorrow, and whether, even if you said to the guy, purchase from your own money, and I'm going to repay you. Bechol inin also, in any instance, it's going to be also either way. V'afili magoi koini b'lo yamois, even if the goy purchases it without paying. Havili ochi also, nevertheless, it's forbidden. Kiven, since, sh'akum poisik schum mois b'yom tev, since there's a designated amount, of, there's a purchase taking place in Yom Tov, v'atatam, to call ma sh'osu las al-edini al-yisul b'atzmo, since the Yid himself is not allowed to do that, also, you therefore not allowed to ask to go to the Yom Tov. Even if you request and instruct it before Yom Tov. So the point is, since the Yid is not allowed to buy those birds on Yom Tov, because that requires melacha, so therefore you also wouldn't be allowed to ask the goy to get the birds on Yom Tov, because that would also require melacha. Does that make sense?
Which melacha are we talking
about? Catching.
Already.
Yeah, then he could also do it himself. Yeah, but then, yeah, you're right. I mean, they could ask a goy to do it. So again, Abba Isai, you may not go to a goy and tell the goy, okay, listen, today's Wednesday, tomorrow is Yom Tov. Do you mind, can you please go and give you some £5? Can you please get me some fresh birds? Caught birds. I want to eat them. You're not allowed to do that. Even if you tell him, even if you tell the goy, you know, take your own money, and I'm going to pay back after Yom Tov. You're not allowed to, why not? All the guy is doing is that he's going to go to the shop and get some birds. Why is he also? The answer is, because since I'm not allowed to get birds in Yom Tov, why am I not allowed to get birds in Yom Tov? Because that requires a catching, that requires melacha. So similarly also, I'm not allowed to ask the guy to get birds, because that requires catching, although he's not going to do the hunting himself. Why?
He himself is not the one.
I know, but it's an Issa Darbonon of purchasing birds. So you are doing an Amir Nochi of an Issa Darbonon, which is awesome.
But the Nochi that I'm asking isn't doing a Malacha.
But in true, he's not doing a Malacha, but he's doing an Issa Darbonon.
Oh,
yeah, I wouldn't call it Mecha Chomemka, but it's buying the birds, which is also, yeah, because he requires
one. Can you ask him to ask someone else?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's really what you're touching on. That's a general question. Can I, let's say I want to have a switch, a light off on Shabbos. Has it ever happened to you? You kept the light on, you want to switch a light off on Shabbos? Fridge light. Can I, so, and I'm, I don't want to, can I ask, and let's say I can't ask to go switch a light off. For whatever the reason is. It's also, I mean, no. Could I ask a goy, listen, can you ask another guy to switch the light off? Would that make any better? that the guy that I'm asking doesn't actually do the melacha, but the guy that I'm asking, he asks another guy that he in turn actually do the melacha. It's called Amira la Amira. It's a very interesting shaila. It's more indirect.
When you ask him.
Yeah, it's going to have to be really... Yeah. Well, yeah, probably with
the
hints.
The hints are here, and then
yeah. So I'll tell you why it's very relevant. In hotels, they like to use this hetzer. In hotels, they want to use this hetzer. Because you want to ask a guy, you know, there's a lot of melachas going on in Yiddish, you know, in Yiddish hotels. And there's a lot of melachas switching on, switching off, etc., etc. So if you don't want to ask the person himself, you know what? You know, this needs to be locked, this needs to be undone, this needs to be switched off, switched on. So you ask a goisha worker, and he doesn't actually do it, but he goes to his colleague, explaining him what needs to be done, and then he actually intends to ask the malacha. So Amira, the Amira, the does that make it any better or not? So you didn't actually ask the goy to do it. You asked the goy to pass it on to his colleague, then he in turn actually does the malacha. Very interesting shaila. Some achronim are lenient, and they said he makes it better. Amira, the Amira, he's better, but some say it makes no difference. That's machloikas.
What happens though, if the guy himself asks his friend to do it, so you haven't said to him, ask your friend to do it, he himself voluntarily asks his friends to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's very good, because in such an instance, it's for sure okay. Yeah, so if the guy, he asks for it, then...
he asks his friend.
Yeah, so that makes it better. But if you instigate it, if you orchestrate it, Amir al-Amir, that's a machlokes achronim as to whether it makes it better or not. Some achronim like it very much. Okay, but that's really not what we are saying over here, but that's an interesting question you're asking. Who asked? Amir al-Amir, it's an interesting shayla, very interesting discussion that achronim. Okay, let's just finish off Siv Gimel and Siv Talet. So Siv Gimel teaches us, can you tell to your friend, can you fill this Kelly's vessel with wine? Tino biyom to come on Shabbos. Aloch is like on Shabbos. Kriyis the same machine chav gimel. For I didn't also latil geirolas biyom to. And another, if I may say, random aloch brought over here. Lots. You're not allowed to take lots on yom tov. Kriyis the same machine chav. If you can't agree who is going to be chasen bereishis this year, you just can't agree who's going to be chasen bereishis because they're all fighting for being chasen bereishis. Can't just put all their names in a hat and pick it from the hat. You can't do that because that would be also taking Goyolas and Yom Tov.
What's the Issa there? Is it so because you might write it down?
Or is it... I forgot. I forgot what it is. I don't know why I think that there's a shadow of Boyer as well, but I think that might say there isn't. I don't remember. I just don't remember. I don't remember what it is. Malay Li. Klize Yain didn't go Shabbos Yom Tov. That was measuring, and that's like Siv Talet. In line with Siv Talet, Lo Yimoid Odom Soirim. You're not allowed to measure explicitly and specifically barley, little if it's to give before the animals. Elo Mishaya, but you can do an approximate measurement, Venois and Law, and give it to animals. So if you want to have a precise, you know, your donkey, your camel eats exactly 16.5 kilos of. And it goes through, you know, if you want to be precise and accurate, you may not measure it, how much barley he eats, and how, you may not do, but what you may do, you don't want the animal to starve, so what you may do is meshayer to an approximate estimation, venoisinot, that's what you give. And what's the reason why you're not allowed to do specific and accurate and specific measures? Sivkot nyut beis in Mishnebu, because it always has a bit of an implication that you're going to sell it. Why do you need exactly 16.5 kilos? 7 kilo and 750 grams. Why are you being so pedantic about it? The answer is, you know, because it looks like you're going to sell it. So therefore, you're not allowed to do that. For Adil and Yomtov, and simply regards to Yomtov too. Okay. Fine. And we are very honored and very privileged to hear some words, which I must say are 24 hours old, so that's a very short notice. Rabbi Tapper, thank you very much.
Hey, I didn't have so long to prepare, so I listened this week to a beautiful shiur from Rabbi that I'm very fond of his shiurim, Rabbi Chaim Dahan, on Torah. You can get him on Torah anytime. Unfortunately, very sadly, tragically, he passed away this year.
of coronavirus earlier this year. Young, quite young. So it should be Le'ele Nishmasai. I don't know his Hebrew name, but it should be Le'ele Nishmasai. He's speaking there about Noach, and he's Noach, and he brought some Ramazim that Noach and Moshe have a strong connection. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu seems to be some sort of a Gilgul Neshama of Noach. He brought Raya's to that, particularly the Gematrias. He says Ra'isi Tzadik B'Dor Hazeh. So Hazeh is Gematria 17 Doros from Noach is Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's a Remez back Toiv. When Moshe was born, she saw that he was Toiv. Toiv is also 17. So seven, he's the Toiv. He's the 17th generation. Various rise that Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems to be some sort of a connection in terms of neshamas to Noach. And we know famously that Noach is criticized somewhat. That he's, Chazal kind of term as a tzaddik in pelt. So he's this tzaddik that looked after himself. He had a ticket on the boat. He had his escape. And even though he did try somewhat to influence his doi, but he wasn't matzniach in being influencing anybody else, not a single person. Even though he was busy with his teva day after day for years and years and years, nothing. Not a single person outside his own family was influenced to do teshuva. And there seems to be a bit of a tine on him, and some of the mafarshim seem to come down on him for that. And we see that Moshe Rabbeinu, by contrast, was the one that looked out for his brothers, and he looked out for people, and he helped people, even the sheep he helped, everyone, he looked out for others. He said a beautiful remez to this. The teva, we're told a lot of details about this teva. Who cares? I mean, who cares what size the teva was? So we see something interesting, that the dimensions of the teva are more remez to the word loshon. How so? Because it's shin long, 300 long, it's lamed high, things, are right?
30, yeah.
30, and it's nun wide. Is that right?
Yeah. 50.
That's right. But the problem is, Loshon is normally spelled male with a vav. And here, you've only got three dimensions, so it's chaser. So he wants to say with that, that it's chaser, that he was chaser Loshon. He didn't extend his Loshon to other people. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu was he doesn't say about kavod peh and kavod Loshon, but he was, he extended himself. And he brings a beautiful story. He brings a few beautiful stories. One of his strengths as a speaker is he told the most remarkable stories. I love his stories. They're so beautiful. But one of them was an incredible, incredible story of the Chofetz Chaim. And it's just the epitome of how particularly the tzaddikim of a generation look out for everybody. But we can all emulate that on some level. I'm not suggesting we can reach the levels of this mice. It's quite phenomenal. There was a story of the Chofetz Chaim that somebody was very ill with some machla, and they didn't know this machla was new. He went to the doctor. They didn't know about this machla. They had no hasag of how to treat it. He went to the greatest specialist, nothing. And he said, okay, well, I've tried. I've done my hishtadlus. I'm going to go to the Chofetz Chaim. So he went to the Chofetz Chaim, asked him for, explained the situation. He said, look, we've tried everything. It's not nothing. He said, I'll help you, but on one condition. You're not allowed to tell anyone about this, about what I'm about to tell you now. So he told him, go to some rav or whatever. Bekitza, he got better. He got better very relatively quickly, and he was well for years. Then, several years later, quite a while later, his wife got exactly the same problem. And she was begging him, look, you know that... You went to the Chofetz Chaim and you found a solution to this. Tell me what it was. Come on, you've got to. I'm really desperate here. And she went on and on at him, and she was shrieking and really making it hard for him. He said, I can't say. I promised the Chofetz Chaim. I can't go over my promise. He says, eventually he just caved in. It was too much. She went on and on and on and on. It's his own wife, obviously, he cares about her and loves her. And he revealed to her, I went to the Chofetz Chaim, and he said, the next day, this machla came back to the man, to the husband. And he's like, oh, Gewalt, I've let the cat out the bag here. I've gone against the promise I made to the Chofetz Chaim. What am I going to do? But fortunately, the Chofetz Chaim was still alive. So he said, you know what, I'm going to go back to him. I'll beg him for mechila. Hopefully he'll be able to help me again. So he went back to the Chofetz Chaim, and he said, please, I'm so sorry, you know, I was Magala the secret, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, please do help me. He said, I can't help you. Yeah, I'm sorry, the promise was a promise, that you can't help you. Please, please, I beg of you, you're my only hope. He said, listen, I can't help you. When I helped you before, I was a young man. I fasted for 30 days in order to help you. Now I'm older, I can't, my body can't be soivel that, I'm too old, it's the pekuach nefesh. I can't possibly fast like that anymore. You see, an incredible thing that a tzaddik, we're not the Madrig of the Chavetz Chaim, but most of us. But it's just how far a person can look out for somebody else. But even on a small level, to look out for somebody else is a great mila. And that's the benchmark of Yidden. One more story, I can't resist it. It's a beautiful story. There's this fellow who breaks down on the side of the road. Somewhere in America, he breaks down the side of the road. So he's wearing a couple. So this Chassidish Yid who's passing by, he decides to stop from helping. So he says, he looks at him, and he says, something's a bit funny about this guy. He's wearing a couple, but he's also got some sort of Avodah Zarah around his neck. So he's like, are you Jewish by any chance? He says, no. He says, do you mind me asking, why are you wearing that thing on your head then? He said, oh, this. He says, this, I don't know much about it. My father said, you know what, if you put this in the glove box, and if ever you get stuck, put it on your head, and within 5 minutes a Jew will come. It's better than the AA. So he says, they know it, they know our secret, some of them, anyway, know that we're there to help each other, and it's such an amazing thing. Anyway, so that's our lashon. We should use our lashon for the good things and be mashpia in the ways that we can be to help one another. He's brilliant. That's one of his best shiurim. It really was. This week's mashpia. Have a look. No, from America.